مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of مارك السهابة، The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة. الحمد لله. Today is the 2nd of Muharram 1446. And شكر الحمد لله. We have our مولانا موسى لهي who is back with us. Let's welcome our honorable مولانا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. مولانا جزاك الله خير to you and جزاك الله خير to the listeners for all the wonderful du'as.
جزاكم الله خير for joining us. مولانا ساب, how are you feeling at the moment? We know for the past.
Alhamdulillah. I think has made a recovery now. Alhamdulillah. Allah fadl and ihsan.
مولانا went to Egypt. I think this is where the, what was it exactly? A flu or someone said even it was, and I felt like he had COVID, I think. Something of that nature.
Something like that, Allahu Alam. I didn't actually go to any doctor per se. But yeah, I think it was also the heat that was extreme in Cairo. Mm. And the combination of a few other matters. But khair, you know, sickness, illness is from Allah Ta'ala.
Chee.
And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us shifa now.
Ameen, ameen. Mulana, just before we start, this thought came about before we start speaking about Mulana's trip to Egypt and gossiping. That's what we have on our agenda. So I know Mulana has been on air for quite some time. Maybe two or three lessons that Mulana has learned while having this medium of sharing knowledge through air expertise you can share with us, Mulana.
Mulana, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has opened various different avenues of da'wah. The first thing we must remember is that whatever avenue that is utilized for da'wah has to be halal method. So the thing about so-called Islamic television or whatever you may call it, this is where we fall short as a Muslim ummah. So as the Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, he has made mention that any person who uses a batil method of da'wah, there's no khair, there's no barakah, there's no blessing, there's nothing, it's devoid of everything like that. So the first point that we must always remember is that when giving da'wah, and you know, sometimes, why I'm saying this here, is that sometimes as ulama, we get roped into weddings or public halls, you know, occasions and what have you. And we think, okay, here's a good opportunity now to catch the youth or to captivate my audience, etc. But as long as there is disobedience of Allah Ta'ala taking place, intermingling of sexes, music that is taking place, israf that is taking place, various other different gunas that is taking place, how can we even attempt to give the message of deen to in an environment that is hostile to deen? So we must always look, number one, what am I giving da'wah to? And where am I giving da'wah from? And to whom is this da'wah reaching? As long as we keep these things in mind, that I am doing it for Allah Ta'ala, I am doing it for myself, first of all, and I am doing it to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then when we look around us and we see that, Alhamdulillah, I am not violating any of the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, then Bismillah, go ahead, make dua to Allah Ta'ala, make a lot of istighfar, and inshallah, the da'wah will be prosperous and it will be rewarding. Even though a person may not get hidayah immediately. Remember, our job is not to give hidayah. Our job is only to give da'wah. Hidayah comes from Allah Ta'ala. So we must continue our job and our responsibility. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala, through His fadl, His ihsan, He has brought about this medium of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is unique from other radio stations, right? I don't want to get into too much of politics with regards to that, but it is unique in that sense. And Alhamdulillah, we must make shukr for this avenue and we should utilize it to the fullest and to the complete level that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. I've almost forgot, and normally we start our discussion normally with the weather.
The weather update.
Gee, and I've Mulana, just been reading
Cape
about...
Town, Cape Town, from what I'm hearing, is a lot warmer than Johannesburg right now. Johannesburg, I think all the aunties have left the freezers open there, and you are touching minus degrees in Johannesburg. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, we are nowhere close to minus degrees here in Cape Town. Although you're seeing a lot of reports of snow and what have you, but I think that's on the outskirts of Cape Town, you know, an hour's drive, hours and a half drive from Cape Town. It is wet, and it has been raining for the last 3-4 days nonstop, and the weather forecast is showing that it's going to be raining for the next week or so. Alhamdulillah, but it's not as bitterly cold as Johannesburg.
Okay, so that puts us a little bit more at ease for the Muslims there, because we've been reading reports about there's a location called Kayalichia. So they've been experiencing gale force winds more than 1,000. But as Mulana said, that's probably towards the outskirts.
So Mulana, I'm not so familiar of what's going on outside my area, but Kayalichia is not very far away from central Cape Town. And there was reports that something like a cyclone has been hitting Cape Town. But where I am, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, it hasn't been destructive. It hasn't been, as bad as one would have imagined it to be.
So let's go to Mulana Musaleh's trip to Cape to Egypt. In fact, you are in Cape Town. So the trip to Egypt, what lessons can we learn from there? Also, what was the trip? What was the objective of this trip?
So Mulana, alhamdulillah, we had gone to Egypt exclusively on a humanitarian purpose. Alhamdulillah, we've come to learn that there are over 100,000 refugees from Gaza that have crossed over either during the war, most of them during the war, and some of them crossed over before the war, either for some medical treatment, etc. And then they got stuck in Cairo. They're unable to return back to Gaza. So with such a large number, 100,000, right? That's basically what's been recorded. It's a huge number, many of whom are single mothers, many of whom are widows. It's difficult situations because a lot of them had to sell everything that they had or had in Gaza in order to pay the penalty, or well, I wouldn't call it a penalty fee, or to pay the fees to basically come across. And it's exorbitant fees, you know, it's like $5,000 per adult, $2,500 per child. So it's crazy figures if you come to think about it. Multiply that by 100,000, I mean, you're coming into hundreds of millions of dollars just so that people could escape what is going on in the slaughterhouse of Gaza currently. So, Mulana, just to put you into perspective, alhamdulillah, we've been working in Egypt now for about 6-7 months. As soon as the aid going into Gaza had presumably stopped or had been stopped by the Israeli forces, that's when a lot of these Gazan people had now come out to seek refuge. So just to give you perspective, about around the 6th of May, right? The 10th of May, that's when they had closed the Rafah border and they had begun the assault on Rafah city itself. But around the 6th of May, the last few buses that were coming in from Rafah had entered into Egypt. And I myself was not there at the time, although my son was there, my brother-in-law was there at the time, and they had met these people, I'm talking fresh off the bus. And As soon as they had arrived, they had prepared some water, juices, some croissants, you know, some sweets for the children. But the children were not taking the sweets. You know, normally children, when they see sweets, they dive into it. Some children will look towards their parents for consent, but they'll dive into it. And these children were not. I mean, you can imagine the trauma that they had gone through just in crossing this border to get to some safe haven. And then some of the parents were explaining that, you know what, they were giving out scissors, I still remember. And some of the parents were explaining that these scissors, they themselves were eating it, was the first thing that they had put into their mouth for over 24 hours.
SubhanAllah.
So it's really challenging conditions that they have to come through in order to cross the border. But once they get to Egypt, it's none the easier, because they are dropped off in the city center and now they need to fend for themselves. So you have very little to no money if you're lucky. You have no place to stay. You have no food and you only have the clothes on your back. Maulana, it becomes really, really difficult, especially when you see, I just narrate to you, there's a young woman by the name of Nasreen, that now is fully under our employment. And she has a young baby, probably 1 or 2 years old. When she came into Egypt for the first 3 days, she slept on the street. She was like a homeless person. And she was going door to door asking for assistance. The unfortunate part is that in situations like this here, sometimes people will take advantage. And this is exactly what happened with this young woman, is that people started taking advantage of her and offering her assistance in return for insane favors, adult natured favors from her. And eventually, this young woman landed up at the doorstep of our distribution center. And when her story was told to us, I was still here in South Africa, in Cape Town at the time. I made a decision there and there that, you know what, every single of this woman we need to see to, whether it's her rental, whether it's the child, napkins or milk or groceries or whatever it is. And alhamdulillah, we even employed her to do some administrative work for us. But Maulana, that just gives you an idea of what the Ghazwan people have to go through.
And as Maulana is speaking now, I'm just thinking, trying to picture this whole scene. If we take myself, take other people in South Africa, our desire is to see a Palestinian and to give them something that's going to make them happy, that they haven't got after so many months now, that it is over 275 days now. And subhanAllah, they are still moving strong. The Mujahideen are moving strong in that direction. And I think the Taliban have also informed them that you don't give in to any of their negotiations. You stick firm and Allah's assistance is with you. But I'm saying from this angle of assisting and being there, it's, we want to help, but for myself, we feel like, where is the aid going to reach? Now at least we have this avenue, but to see it also, that's another experience on its own. This year, Maulana, what's the response? What are the people of Gaza, because now you've met, Maulana has met them, and what message are they giving to us South Africans, the rest of the people around the world? Do they feel abandoned?
Maulana, 2 points, valid points that you've mentioned here. Number one is every, I think not only South African, but every Muslim for that matter, is eager to help and assist. And this is my message to the Muslim Ummah. You know, for South Africans, it's very easy. All you need to do is buy a ticket, jump on a plane, and shoot off to Egypt. There's no visa, there's no, you know, restrictions or anything like that. They'll just stamp your passport on arrival. It's that easy. So groups need to be made, because, I mean, you have 100,000 refugees. We are only touching maybe 5% of those 100,000, if not less, to try and assist. There's no way in any organization or whatever capacity to try to cover that entire 100,000. So businessmen from different localities need to get together and they need to go to Egypt. It's very easy to find the refugees that are out there. It's very easy. And once you find them, to build up a system whereby you yourself can go purchase whatever groceries, purchase whatever hygiene items, purchase whatever clothing, etc., meat, whatever it may be, and dish it out with your own hands. This is where you can play a pivotal role. Number two, with regards to the appreciation aspect of the Ghazan people, I mean, they are phenomenally appreciative of any little thing that you give them. On Eid Day, Molana, we had a little, whatever you want to call it, like an Eid party or something for the children. And we had over 1,000 children. And, you know, the first thing that we took out was soccer balls. And we started kicking around with the children. And subhanAllah, I mean, a soccer ball, just being a soccer ball, they went literally crazy. And then somebody pulled out balloon. And I mean, balloon, if you look at a balloon, it's got no value. But these children, subhanAllah, they were going crazy, literally crazy for the balloons. And not to mention when the toys came out, that was a different ball game altogether. But Maulana, their iman is so strong. You know, on that day of Eid, one of the brothers that was with me, he had suggested, you know what, why don't we give out some Quran? So we went to the marketplace, we bought some Quran Sharif, we bought some miswak, we bought some burqas, and we started dishing it out. But on the day of Eid, we made it a rule, okay, you know what, there's just too many children here, let's give it to the adults that are here. And subhanAllah, when the people saw the Quran Sharif, I mean, the first thing that every person did was kiss the Quran and kept it close to them. And, you know, we were starting off from one end of the garden, if I can call it that. And people on the other end had already heard that we were distributing Quran and they were rushing to the area. In fact, they were pushing and they were literally, if I can say conservatively, fighting for Quran Sharif. So this is a good thing, you know. Miswaks also, the moment they had received the miswak, it was cleaned, it was in the mouth, it was being utilized already. So their iman is something that will teach us something. You know, the children also, before they ate, you see them, subhanAllah, all of them reciting Bismillah, all of them sitting down respectfully and eating a simple meal, appreciative of it. And then they come to you and they thank you. And there's one point I want to mention, Maulana, is that whilst all that pushing and shoving and especially when the toys had come out, like I mentioned, Maulana, we had a little bit of a stampede with the children. you know, the children were really like, you know, it was their jannah for them to see toys. And nevertheless, somebody got hurt during that whole process. Not badly, but still the person got hurt. And khair, that was one of the things. But the very next day at the distribution center, one of the mothers that was there at the day of Eid, she had cooked a pot of something called, and I stand to be corrected, maqluba. It's a rice dish. It's a dish that the people of Gaza consume, particularly on Eid Day or on a Friday, on a special day, a wedding, etc. And she prepared this meal specifically for us, for the helpers on the day of Eid. And she, you know, as a form and as a token of appreciation, and she had brought it to us. And alhamdulillah, she sat with our ladies and fed us. And that was so touching, so touching. And you know, we tried to offer her some money in lieu of what she had spent, but she had refused. And eventually, we made an excuse of giving the money off to the children. And that was then accepted. But Maulana, there's great opportunity of sawab. And that's what I'm saying. There's great opportunity of sawab. When you hear the stories of these people of Gaza, what they had gone through, how some of them were tortured even by the Israeli soldiers. Some of their husbands and their family members were executed in front of their own eyes. And yes, you do see a tear rolling down their cheeks, and you know, you have to then comfort them and try to explain to them. But then they will just say, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel." Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And that's what spurs the spirit of iman on.
I just recall one of our ustads, they always used to tell us that with regards to humanitarian work, and they said, especially in today's time where there's so much of corruption, the sincere and the truthful must get a hand in it so that everything can go accordingly. And I'm just thinking those words and trying to tie it together also with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said that if you want your heart to become soft, you must put your hand over an orphan. And also another way is to feed the poor. So when you see all of this, Mulana Musa, I'm sure it just melts your heart to such an extent. When you come back, all that you are seeing is like gold for you.
You know, Maulana, on the first day that we arrived, there was a mother and daughter that had come to greet us. And I still remember this little girl, 6, 7 years of age. She was wearing a beautiful pink dress. And, you know, we greeted her and I asked her, what's her name? How old she is? The next thing, she just shied away. And then her mother explained that when the Israeli soldiers had come and they had taken over Nusayrat, then in front of their eyes, her father was executed. He was shot in the eye and he was killed. And from that day on, which is over 2 months now, this little baby, her name is Jannah, she has nightmares continuously. She has nightmares continuously. So we cannot even fathom what they had gone through. What, I mean, there were people that showed us pictures of them being, you know, we have seen it on the news channels, etc., where Gazan people were blindfolded and they were stripped naked. And they had shown us that, you know what, we were those people. We were those people that were stripped. We were those people that were blindfolded in midwinter and left outside for hours on end, tortured, beaten. There was a mother that we met that showed us a picture of her infant, you know, under 1 year of age. And when the bomb actually fell, the child was martyred. And for 3 days, this mother was digging through the rubble. She was digging, you know, searching, because this child's head was severed from the baby. 3 days, imagine, looking for the head of a 1-year-old baby. And eventually, she couldn't find the head, and she just buried this child without the head. Subhanallah. So their stories are something that will touch any person's heart. Unfortunately, the Israelis don't have heart.
Exactly.
So it doesn't bother them. But as Muslims, it will affect us. And, you know, the right thing for us to do is to, like I said earlier, it's so easy for us. Jump on a plane. Go yourself. You don't need to look for an organization or whatever it is. You can go yourself. You can do the work yourself. You can distribute yourself. You can purchase yourself. You can comfort yourself. You can feed yourself. You can provide so much of things, you know, musalla, Quran, eternal sawab. And that's what people generally look for in situations like this here. But you can do everything yourself, knowing that you have made a difference and you have basically allowed through Allah's fadl and karam and ihsan for aid to reach into the hands of Christian people.
Mulana, you've raised another important topic, but I think time is short, but we have 2 minutes, inshallah. So this about the children, their psychological state that they're in currently. Mulana has met certain of them and has just opened up a little bit. Can Mulana share with us other experiences?
So, Mulana, more than that, what I want to say, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I went to, Allah Ta'ala took me to Bangladesh. This was just when the genocide in Burma had taken place. And I still recall the first time I entered those Burmese camps in Bangladesh, Mulana, I was making dhikr. What type of dhikr? Wa alaikum salam, wa alaikum salam, wa alaikum. Because every child, every person was greeting me. 2 years later, I returned to the same camp. And not a single child was making salam because of the work of the missionaries, Christian missionaries, particularly a group by the name of BRACS, B-R-A-C-S, was doing in the camps. The children had forgotten the Islamic identity. In fact, when I made salam to them, they were laughing at me because they didn't know what I was saying. This is just 2 years later. So I'm saying that these children, there's thousands of them in Egypt. Alhamdulillah, we're in the process of establishing a maktab. We've got 300 students, we've got 12 teachers, but this is the start, and this is an opportunity. You know, if we don't do something urgently, these children are out of school, they're out of madrasa, they have nothing, they just sit at home the whole day, maybe beg on the street, they have nothing, absolutely nothing. If we are not going to make an effort on the iman, and a simple thing, renewal of iman, the same Palestinian children who have been reciting Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel and Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, they're going to forget this identity as Muslims. So the maktab system, you know, da'wah system has to be full force. Otherwise, missionaries are going to go in. You know, Egypt has over 2 million Coptic Christians. They'll go in and they will work. Not for 40 days or for 4 months. They work for one whole year trying to make our Muslim children forget their identity.
We appreciate this interesting discussion. I think there was no time to discuss, to make any gossip. We're supposed to be discussing gossiping, but inshallah, there's always time for that next week or in the next programs, inshallah. We appreciate this experience, and may Allah Azza wa Jal accept the organization, those involved, and accept all those who want to be involved as well. Take us there as well and experience these experiences. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that was Mulana Musa Lahey from us and the team. Jazakumullah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.